A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this morning? The reason I ask you, how are you this morning? I'm actually below the weather this morning. And my voice may sound a bit rough and rugged. Please just bear with me. So, good morning to you. It's a Thursday morning. How are you doing? And thanks for joining us and for choosing, you know, to be in your company of Eagle FM. That's what we love to do. We love to be in your company. So wherever you are, thanks for joining us. And our time, it's 34 minutes. Where am I? 34 minutes past the hour of seven, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli. This is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that, shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is also about you. Share your thoughts, your opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So today is the, what is the day today? Today is the 15th of May. So what happened on this day in Africa? So let's look at some of the significant events that have taken place in Africa on this day. Although the AU was officially founded on the 25th of May 1963, the preparatory meetings, the preparatory meetings leading to its creation, involving African head of state, were ongoing in May. So they were ongoing in May. So the groundwork laid during this time, like the 15th of May, during this time, significantly shaped the continent approach to unity and decolonization effort. So, on the 15th of May in 1988, a discussion involving South Africa, Angola, and Cuba intensified under UN guidance to bring peace to Namibia and secure its independence. So these talks eventually led to the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 435, paving the way for Namibia's independence in 1990. On May the 15th in 1961, Mauritania was officially admitted as a member of the United Nations. This was critical milestones in solidifying its sovereignty after gaining independence from France in 1960. So, and we all remember this. On the 15th of May 2004, guess what happened? FIFA announced in Zurich that South Africa would host the 2010 FIFA World Cup. So this was, I think this was a historical moment, a very historic moment, as it marked the first time the tournament would be held on the African continent. So Nelson Mandela was present at the announcement, symbolizing the significance of the event for South Africa and Africa as a whole. So in more recent years, May 15 has been used by various African Union committees to update the member state on progress towards Agenda 2063. So while not an official holiday, this date has been informally, if you like, linked to progress reviews on in African Union agenda updates. So that's what we have today. That's some of the significant event on the continent, what happened in the continent, in the history of the continent on this day. So Thursday, May the 15th, what is our thought for the day? So the fish rots from the head down. Okay, it's not a fish rot. It means the proverb is just that the fish start to rot from head down. Okay? So the fish rots from the head down. So the proverb means that corruption, dysfunction, or problem in an organization or a society or a group often start with its leadership. So if the leader is unethical, ineffective or corrupt, it tends to trickle down and affect the entire system. So if the leader is unethical, ineffective or corrupt, it tends to trickle down and affect the entire system. So a leader's action and ethics influences the behavior and the culture of those that they lead. So the proverb emphasizes the critical role of leadership in maintaining a healthy system. And well, I hope you are also a leader of in your own right. Wherever you are, you have a leadership responsibility. Let's hope you will keep the ethical integrity in what you do, and be responsible as well as an example of those people that in your under your leaderships. So that's our thought of the day today. So the fish rots from the head down. Give us a little bit of awareness to be a responsible leader wherever we find ourselves. Someone calling this early. What is about? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Sorry to interrupt your conversation, Mr. Osho. Very good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. So I was just thinking that that's my own viewpoint.
Can you come later, Mr. Uncle Bona? I haven't have started yet, so all right.
Oh, but I will only come in with the 2 points that you have just mentioned now. When I come back that time.
All right, no, that's fine. You're welcome. But do come later, eh?
Good.
All right. Yeah. all right. So, that's our thought of the day. And as I said, be a very responsible, leader wherever you find yourself, and a role model for other people that are under you as well. So if the head is rot, it starts from the head. The rot starts from the head. So, all right. One thing that I would also say, well, if you don't want to miss out on anything, on your favorite, radio station, what you need to do is really, if you want to, wherever you are, that you're accessible and, you're not missing out on anything from your favorite stations or what you need, all you need, I mean, you have a phone. Or what you need is actually to download the Eagle FM app, the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play and the app stores. And then you definitely, voila, you are accessible. You have access to now to your to the news, to your favorite shows, and many, 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 many more features on the Eagle FM app. So, and those who are still looking for work, that's also an opportunity for you to always have a look if there is a vacancy available on there. So make sure that you download that and you keep on checking if there is a vacancy available. So do that and you definitely will be have access to some of very interesting information and features on Eagle FM app. Do that. So yeah. And if you want to always stay updated and with business news, economic news, policy development news, or anything that is happening in and around your area or in and around the country, so please do visit our social platform and when you are there, do leave a comment. We would like to have your feedback. Do you leave a comment or a like or, you know, all those love signs that, you know, that you have on those platforms. So, and leave us with a feedback. So we would like to hear what you said. So, and on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, the Villager normally comes out, is published on those day of the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you want to grab your digital copy of The Villager on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-4144, 081-200-4144. So, and if you're a business person, we're making it really quite easy for you to grow your business. So we have the IMBA app, and we also have Eagle FM mobile app. On those application, these are perfect for boosting actually your product and services and event to a wide range of people in Namibia, or consumers or customers. So, and don't forget, as I said earlier on, you know, our social media platform, they are some of the most active in our country. So, it will give you that perfect space to really elevate your product or your brand or your event. And if you want to do that, contact us at 083-288-4000. 083-288-4000. So, good morning. If you're just joining us now, you just tune in into Unpacking at the Day. So, when we come back, let's get into our first item on the show. Just stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Well, good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and I'm your host, Michael Savelli, and I will be with you until the hour of 9:30 this morning. So you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. So yeah, there was an oil conference taking place in Paris, the investment in African energy 2025 forum. It's called Investment in African Energy 2025 forum. It started on Tuesday till yesterday, May 14, 2025. So this event was very important platform for discussion on Africa's energy sector, with a particular focus on Namibia's emerging role in offshore oil and gas explorations. So during the conference, Namibia Petroleum Commissioner Maggie Shino announced that the total energies is expected to submit its development plan for the Venice oil discovery by mid-2025, aiming now for a final investment decision, the FID, by the fourth quarter of 2026. And also, similarly, BW Energy plans to finalize its development plan for the Kudu gas field by June 2025, with the final investment decision also targeted for late 2026. So, if all goes well, if all goes according to the plan, I think we could see ourselves, we could see our first oil production between 2029 and 2030. But while these timelines are promising, history remind us to be cautious. So earlier this year, you remember, Shell decided not to proceed with its Namibian oil discovery due to the higher gas content, which made the project actually less profitable or economically viable, or, you know, whatever term you want to use. So remember, Total Energies has also adjusted its plan, pushing back decision and slightly reducing expected output from 15,000 per barrel per barrel to from 16,000 per barrel to 15 something in that line. So this shift highlight the complexities and uncertainty in developing offshore resources. So now the Total Energies aim to keep from the conferences. There has been actually interview done with some of the leaders, some of the members of this institution, and the Total Energy indicated that it aims to keep the production cost below $20 per barrel to make the Venice project viable. You know, if it's below $20 per barrel, that would make the Venice Now project viable. So, in achieving this, may require actually negotiation with the Namibian government to share some expenses up front, you know, to share some upfront expenses. So if cost exceed that threshold, the threshold of $20 per barrel, so the project feasibility could be at risk. What is actually the Total Energies actually saying, we can only continue with this project if the threshold is actually below $20 per barrel. So if it's more than that, so they would love then to negotiate with the government actually to also to share actually the expenses. Yeah, so, and this is a sharing expenses before even the production is guaranteed. So that's what they actually saying. So what is here is it's being cautioned. It's a caution kind of measure. It's a caution measures that if from our point of view, from us as viewers, I'm not as viewers, as listeners as well, to say, well, we can get all excited, but from history, we know what happened. We know what Shell have done. So that's a possibility, because there's also this condition now that Total Energy is actually putting in, that if really the production cost is higher than $20 per barrel, you know, this Venice project might not be viable. So otherwise you require actually the government also to, you know, to share some upfront expenses as well. So yeah, that's just a cautionary measure to say, well, it's not all done and settled that this would happen. So we still have to wait and see until now to the FID, the final investment decision. So and we know that the other issues is also then the whole question of managing the natural gas. So you remember the Shell issues, you know, the Shell issues was they decided actually not to proceed with its Namibia oil discovery due to the higher gas content, which actually made the project less profitable. So it was due to that higher gas content. So our offshore field contain significant amount of natural gas. So Namibia and Namibian law prohibit now flaring. So they prohibit flaring, meaning company must either re-inject the gas into the reservoir or process it for use. So either you re-inject the gas into the reservoir, or you actually process it for use. So, and this requirement now adds now the complexity. It adds complexity and the cost to the project. So, and Shell, as we know, earlier decision to hold its project was partly due to this challenge. So now the government is now encouraging these two companies, like the Total Energy and the BW Energy. So the government now is encouraging, now this, like the two oil companies to collaborate infrastructure, such as shared pipelines and processing facilities. So, and this approach could now reduce the cost and probably improve the efficiency. Okay. Now, however, the Total Energy currently plans to re-inject the gas, not actually processing it for use. So, and BW Energy's Kudu project is actually smaller in scale, you know. So now, without the coordinated effort, so we actually still also risk a higher cost and missed opportunity for this synergy between these two companies. So each one have their own goals, and they don't seem to, you know, to want to coordinate, okay, because of the cost that might be involved. Okay, so And that could also, that because of that higher cost, that may be also is something that at the back of those on the project, when it comes now to FID, the final investment decisions. So yeah, those are some just issues that could be a factor why maybe Total Energies and BW Energy not be able to progress. I mean, BW Energy not be able to progress with the productions. So yeah, and the economic implications. I think developing these resources could bring really significant economic benefit, which would include job creation, and also the other thing, which is also our government, it's maybe trying, the new administration trying to do, is also to diversify, you know, beyond just mining and the other sector, fishing. Yeah, so. Now, so, however, the government must balance also the offering of incentive. It has also to balance the offering of incentive to attract investment with assuring also a fair return for the Namibian people. So those there's that challenge. You have to strike this balance. I think, and striking this balance is really crucial, of course, for sustaining, you know, sustaining development for our country. So not just, as the president also talks about beneficiation and all that. So that balance need to be struck. Otherwise, it will be just this, multinational companies that are coming in and, you know, extract all these resources and we benefit nothing. All right. I say that today I'm really below the weather, so my voice could be a bit rugged. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's important. The other thing also, the story from the conference is that as the world now moves, these are some of the factors that I think actually looking at why the final decision the final investment decision might be different, you know, as much as we look forward with hope and believe that, this will go, you know, we will become the oil producer, one day, it's not clean and it's not a clean sailing. Yeah, it's not safe. No, it's not a clean sailing that's it's definitely going to happen. So these are some of the factors that are being highlighted. So the other one is that the world now, it's moving towards a cleaner energy. You know, and if it's taking us, let's say for example, for now 5 to 10 years to have our first drop of oil, so there is a risk that the fossil fuel projects may become less viable over time. You know, because now the world is moving towards a cleaner energy. So over time, if it's taking too long for us to have our first drop of oil, so definitely it might become less viable, as the time goes. So, and Namibia now faces the challenge of developing its resources. Now we have these two resources. We have, these resources of responsibly while, we are investing, while also investing in a renewable energy sources like green hydrogen to ensure a long-term sustainability. So we face that challenge of we need to develop these resources responsibly, you know, but we also then need to also invest in renewable energy sources like the green hydrogen. So that's also an issue that are being highlighted. So the Total Energies and BW Energy have these actually, when it comes, they have significant stakes. When you look at the stakes that have in this project are really significant. Well, alongside NAMCOR, Namibia NAMCOR also have, but and it is very essential, you know, that Namibians gains skills and opportunity from these developments, you know, because otherwise the circle continues. So the government is working on policies to ensure that local participation and benefit sharing, and to make sure that there is that local participants and then benefit sharing, emphasizing the importance of also building the domestic expertise. So now, if you look at the Total Energies owned, the Total Energy owns about 45.25% interest in offshore block. This is now offshore block 2913B, containing now, this is the one containing the Venus discovery. It's alongside Qatar. Qatar actually owned, they owns 35.25%. And African Oil Impact, the African Oil Impact oil and gas own about 9.5%. And guess what? And guess how many our state own and NAMCOR own? 10%. So we only then own 10%. All right. So that's how it is. The all 90%, the 90% is owned by, you know, this all foreign investors. And if you look at the BW Energy holds a 95, eh? The this is now the interest in the Kudu prospect. So 95%. And with NAMCOR holding the remaining 5. So that's how we manage our business. Okay. That's how Namibia manage our businesses. All right. So, and, hope that tells a story. Okay. So now the other factors also, it's highlighted is also market volatility in terms of oil prices. Because when it comes to oil, the oil prices can fluctuate significantly. So a sudden drop, could make this project unprofitable. I mean, the longer it takes, with also that market volatility could also affect the project profitability. So, and also like spike of oil can lead also to increase in prices or inflation. So now both investors and policymakers need to really navigate these uncertainties, if you like, carefully, so that they protect the economy and also the consumers. So and the investor also need to make sure, I think they have to have that certainties as well, for them to continue investing. So and the, what is the other thing? So now what I want you to think is that, you know, are you optimistic about Namibia's potential as an oil producer? And do you have concern, or do you have concern about the risk and also environmental impacts? Those are some of the things that I I pick up from the article. It's always good to look at an article that looking at Namibia, not from Namibia itself, but from other agencies who have access more to the people of their own, to their own people, and provide really open information or transparent information that you can be able to analyze. So, yeah, the question is, are you optimistic about Namibia's potential as an oil, given all some of those and what we prepare, what we do, we kind of like prepare ourselves and understand what are the factors that maybe that what are the factors that involved in when it comes to the FID, the final investment decision by these institutions, you know, by these majors companies that are doing exploration in our country. So when it comes to that, we can ourselves also look at, okay, so if these are the issues, if these are the factors, how do we counter that? How do we then approach some of this of these challenges that may be a problem? So should the government offer incentives to attract investment, for example? Or should now the companies bear their cost independently? So because if the cost maybe is too higher for the company, and they want the company, as they said, it's only be viable, especially for Total Energy, it's only be viable if it's below 20%. If it's below 20%, $20 per barrel, you know? So, yeah. Should now company bear, should the government offer incentive to attract investment, or should company bear the cost independently? So, well, I would like to hear from you, and what you think. Please do come through. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. So, all right, come through and have your thoughts on that. So, yeah.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. Now, Mike, I'll come back now.
Okay. Just get closer to the phone. You will sound very far.
Okay, no.
Okay, you are clear. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity given.
Yeah.
And what I would like to say, maybe let me start with these 2 points. The ones on the collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people working together and then we share their resources, which in many times, many situations, they duplicate these resources, the energy and everything.
Yeah.
But especially this time around, where the demand of logistical facilities and transportation and many other, there is a serious need for the people to collaborate.
Yeah.
And share their facilities. Especially, say for example, if you are now to transport goods and then services, for example.
All right.
Oh, it's like there's an aircon. Sorry. Now, the issue of sharing...
On my side or your side?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Since you are not disturbed, it's okay.
Yeah.
So then you see that a lot of companies like MTC and those multi companies that you're talking about, and then they were not even able to negotiate for
just Uncle Bona, quick we go to a quick commission and then we back. I just hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Okay. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz.
Okay, just go ahead. Okay, Bona?
Yes, it's really a matter of negotiation.
Yeah.
And see what is it that you have, your take in that. But when it comes to exploration and the 10% of NAMCO.
Yeah.
I think these things have been explained. This 10% has been explained so many times.
What did they say?
And still, there are still misunderstandings surrounding this 10%.
What is the misunderstanding?
The misunderstanding is that when you have 10%, then you get a smaller return.
What does it mean then?
So it means that if you are to put, say, 30 billion in the exploration of the oil and all these gahas and whatever.
Yeah.
Say 10 million. Billion.
Yeah.
Or 30 billion. Do you think NAMCO will then commit itself or herself of the government to put, let's say, 90% in that exploration project?
Yeah.
And the risk that is involved is that if you do not get oil there or whatever you want to find out, whatever you are finding.
It's a double sword.
Let me just explain.
Yeah.
So that you understand it and many other people will understand it.
Okay. Mm.
So because there's still a misunderstanding, I could hear you laughing there, meaning that yes, because the NAMCO did not put 90% or only 10%.
Yeah.
It's because it's not well calculated. It's an economic formula that people use here. Like I said, the government is to put 30 billion there.
Yeah.
And they don't find anything, what will be the consequences?
Okay. Flip that now. Let's say, for example, they found something there.
Yeah. If they find something, you always have a lot of benefits that will even
exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's why I said. It's a two-sword. I understand. Well, I mean, not only me. I mean, as you said, people misunderstood this. We understand in terms of like, okay, yeah, the other Total Energies and what is that? Qatar, you know, they put in a lot of money in explorations. And now the question is that once now the production come into effect,
yes,
you know, because you
were, they will benefit more.
Yeah, they will benefit more. And this is where now we will say, no. Why now they actually getting more? Yes, because they put more. You understand that? We understand that. But now the question, that's why I said it's a double sword, a double edged sword, because you are afraid to put in more because you worried that there might be nothing. But in the end, if there's something, you lose.
Not necessarily that you are afraid. You are just careful. You are very cautious.
Yeah.
That yes, there's no way you can risk such money.
Taxpayers' money.
When you have got a lot of burning issues, for example, social issues, issues, employment.
Yeah. No, I get you, Uncle Bana. But now, let's say, for example, there's a production now. There's now oil.
Yeah,
oil is
you
there.
Still, you benefit. You even go up to 70%.
How? Energy. How do you go to 70% when you have 10%?
In terms of loyalty, in terms of employment, there are a lot of things.
Yeah. No, we understand those. Yeah.
Yes. That's why I'm saying that the probability, the prediction, when you put that, so obviously if you find something, you benefit. If you don't find anything, you don't lose much.
Yeah, no, that we understand. But why do the president...
If you understand that, let's go to the other point. So if you understand that one, is good. So I just wanted to, otherwise you can also call one of the economists to explain to you.
I'm only presenting what is here. It's not an understanding. I'm just presenting.
And interpret it in the right context.
There's nothing wrong with what's said. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is that when NAMCOL put 10%.
Yeah.
They know what they are doing, and they are doing it in a very viable manner.
Yeah.
So that they don't just put money blindly.
All right.
So the fish rotting on the rotten on the head. Just briefly, it's true sometimes, but many a times, like you were reading in that article, they concern more of the management.
Yeah.
The management level. Because when you look at, say, for example, leadership, and I think we have engaged in this two concepts sometimes back. So, let's say now we take example of an organization or the minister.
Yeah.
Ministry.
Mm.
The ministry there is a leader appointed.
Mm.
Deputy. Then the rest are what now? Management cadres.
Yeah.
And those ones are the ones who are to implement
the
vision and the direction and all the operationalization of the activities and everything.
Mm.
So, but many a times the problem of corruption and all this unethical conduct that you were talking about or omission or whatever. So they result from the management administration.
Who has the power to fire and hire the management?
No, not necessarily to fire and hire.
Yeah.
That is a different topic.
People
are aware and they understand the consequences of mismanagement, for example, or misadministration or misappropriation of the funds.
Yeah, if someone is doing that, Uncle Bona, if someone is doing that, who is responsible to take him out of those positions or to discipline him, whatever the case may be?
Obviously, there are many structures. The hierarchy is there. You have all of them. Of course, the minister, as a minister, is there also to make sure that his or her staff are carrying out what is ought to be done. So, and then Of course, but when it's most of, like I'm saying, they, you find a lot of leaders. I can give you a lot of examples. But you discover that within their jurisdiction there, they have not committed, you know, they have not, they don't have this unethical conduct attached to them. But when you look at the management there, those are the ones who are failing, and they are failing their duty. And because people are stealing, if they're stealing, people are, you know, misappropriating the funds or misdeviating, you know, just to overlook some rules and, you know, this kind of regulation. And then they are doing it. But you find a lot of leaders, the vision is there, the good things, the values and everything. But then you see people are not doing what's supposed to be done.
No, I get your point. I get your point where you're saying management, the leader might not actually involve what happened, but, you know, they are not corrupt themselves, but the people that are executing the project or the task might be, you know,
So, in conclusion, is that maybe we just need to seriously strengthen in that level management.
Yeah.
So when we strengthen them, and then we make sure that they really supervise and make sure that the ethical behaviors and all these other things are known and understood by the people, so you reduce those things. But the head may not be, of course, I'm not saying the head cannot be rotten of the fish. Maybe it's just unfortunate that maybe the rotting always starts from the head of whoever.
But you also have to look at, in the end, I also said, look, wherever you are, like you have some people under you. So
yes,
wherever you are a leader. So, even the management that you're talking about, they are leaders. Exactly.
You are right. You are right. Everyone is a leader.
Yeah.
And, in fact, you know, when people were talking about, you know, do you normally listen to those, early morning scope or whatever?
Yeah.
So the issue that they usually bring out, and I listened to 3 people interviewed. And they were all talking about the production.
Yeah.
And they majorly mentioning about even one of the leaders was from the village. So, and they are talking about all of them. I think they all mentioned what they mentioned in common is laziness.
Yeah.
Mm. And laziness. And remember, the government does give subsidy. They give incentives. Any investor that comes here, there's no investor or whoever that goes into to university and they doesn't get any incentive.
Definitely no. Why would they invest their money? They are not charity.
So that's right. The government does that actually.
All right, Uncle Bwana.
I'm just saying the point that on the subsidy.
All right. So our telephone number, 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So we looked today, we touched on the story about the conference that actually took place in Paris in France about the invest in Africa's energy, the IAE 2025 forum, which started on Tuesday and ended yesterday. So, and the event was looking at Africa's energy sector, and in particular focusing on Namibia's emerging role in offshore oil and gas explorations. So yeah, we touched on the issues, on the factors, because some of the factors that that may affect a final decision. We're talking about the final investment decision that need to be done by the TotalEnergies that is expected. They expected to submit their development plan now for the Venice oil discovery, which was by mid-2025. And now they are aiming now for a final, for a final investment decision by the fourth quarter of 2026. So, and that's the same thing with BW Energy. Their plan is also to finalize its development plan for the Kudu gas field by June 2025, with now their FID, their final investment decision, also targeted late 2026. And we look at now a number of possible delays or challenges, you know, possible delays and challenges when it comes to now be able to finalize or to finalize their plan for that, or decide when they have now to make the decision when it for final decision in investment in making the decision to invest. All right. So, and we looked at some of the thing, because there were cost consideration that was highlighted, that the for Total Energy, for example, the aim actually is to keep the production cost below the $20 per barrel to make now. That's now to be able to make the Venice project viable, make it more commercial viable, make it more, you know, profitable. So, and that's one. And they said if it's more than that, maybe the government should also, you know, share some upfront expenses as well, which we don't, I don't think the government will be able to do that. It's an issue that we're talking with Uncle Buana now. So, yeah. So, and those are now some of the potential challenges. Okay. So the other thing is the managing of natural gas, which we know that our law prohibits the flaring, which meaning now the company must either with that natural gas, our offshore really contains significant amount of natural gas. So, and the government have this law that it's either is reinjected, the gas, reinject the gas into the reservoir, or you actually process it for use. And now the complexity is that doing that, it's very costly. So, and that's why Shell, if you remember, Shell also this decision to stop the project was partly due to, not completely, but partly due to these challenges. So that's also something that we need to put into considerations. Yeah. So, and then the cost, because each now, company is dealing, like Total Energies, they are focused on their own discovery that they have done. The BW Energy focus on the Kudu project. So the infrastructure and collaboration is also one of the issue, where the government, you know, encouraging now these oil companies to collaborate on infrastructure, where they share now kind of shared pipelines and processing facilities. But the idea is really to reduce then cost and be proficient and to be able to improve then that efficiency. So, but Total Energy, for example, their plan is naturally to process the gas. It's actually to reinject the gas into the reservoir. So, and that, and then the BW Energy Kudu project it's also smaller in scale. So compared to the amount of the gas that Total Energy is actually currently planned to do. So this, now without those efforts, the coordinated effort, So that also may risk a higher cost for maybe, for example, for Total Energies. That would also become a challenge, you know, a potential challenge. So, and the other thing, so we also look at the economic implications. Yeah, in terms of, you know, will this development resources, could this bring significant economic benefit in terms of job creation, and also maybe looking at also diversifying this beyond other sectors that we have, the common one, the mining and fisheries. So, and yeah, so the government is asked to strike a really balance in terms of that. And then, so yeah, those are some of the factors. There are also environmental consideration in terms of, and this is very important as well, to say the longer this is takes, because the world also is moving towards the cleaner energy. And there is a risk that this fossil fuel project may actually become less viable. And the investors may also move away because the interest is more on cleaner energy. So, yeah, those are some of the factors. And also the whole question of building the local capacities are some of the factors as well that one also... The market volatility, because the oil prices can fluctuate significantly. Those may have also definitely may also contribute to considering actually proceeding, making that final investment decision. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, Michael. So we are still talking about the energy in different angles.
We will never leave it alone this time. I think the good thing here on this is that this is actually coming from Reuters. Okay.
Yeah.
So in on the conference that was actually in France, and this is also then I'm picking up some of the. You know, it's like so when he's going to make a decision, he said, "Lex, we are preparing to do this. We're preparing to have a final investment decision, but there are factors." So it's not a clean, a smooth riding. Okay. It's not a smooth riding that this is going to happen. There are factors, and these are the factors. So, if it doesn't, if in the end, our final decision, our investor is not what maybe, it's actually for their own benefit. It's not for Namibia.
Yeah.
So their investment is for their own benefit. If they see that this is not profitable. Definitely they withhold their investment. They withhold their final decision, their final investment decision.
But for me, as a candidate in Namibia, I think, we support, I like the new president, which he has, because the focus is all about oil and gas.
Yeah.
Rather than hydrogen and the, lithium.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we are moving to new clean energy, why should we rush to go for lithium and green hydrogen instead of focusing on the oil, which are going to run out?
Yeah.
Remember, they said in 2050, there will be no more car traveling with what? With petrol.
Fossil fuel, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So... it's a hard time for us before we discover oil to make use of it.
Actually, rush it so that you reinvest. You reinvest this in other sectors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the moment we are, you know, we are going to get rid of the fossil fuel, then what are we going to use it? No. What benefit are we going to get it in that area? Because sometimes I think in our country, it's only on a country where we don't even think about the future. Because sometimes at this green hydrogen and the lithium, we can preserve for the future of this generation of Namibia to come. Because now fossil fuel is going to run out in 2050, and we are yet, we discover it now, and we are yet not even spearheading of looking around the camp and who can come and truly invest. Because sometimes I think the oil which we are having is like a boche kembera. So the way things are running, is, you can see it's just up and down. Some companies are withdrawing, some are coming in, some they are asking even the government also to put up something. You see, it's really like, it's there, but not really we know that exactly we are going to extract the oil out of the oil, the ground.
Yeah.
Because the thing we are running is like, it's just up and down. Sometimes the government is saying this, sometimes the investors is going around this. So if you are speaking one language, I think, investor in the government, we are able to maybe, because they are now talking about the 20, at least the oil in 20, I think it was this year. They say they are going to what? The drop of oil in Namibia, we are going to test it. But yet, they will tell you the well are doing well this way, we cover this. But up to now, we never see Namibian oil.
Yeah, well, you're even going far away. The company haven't yet. They are doing explorations. Much of what they invested is just in the exploration. So they haven't really invest yet. And that's what this is called, the FID, the final investment decisions. They haven't really yet invest in the production of oil in the country.
You see now.
Yeah, they haven't yet done that.
Yeah, because for us, we want to see the buyer of oil out, then we see this is a Namibian product.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we want, because the explosions take long. You know, remember the issue of even the Babwata? That, for how long? And they said they discovered they are too old well, which are really showing a good sign of positive. But yet, nothing out of the ground yet.
Yeah.
So, I think really in this thing, sometimes we need to concentrate on something if we know the oil is there. Because now, remember, Namibian government itself is spending about like 50 million, 30 billion.
Mm.
30 billion before they start even doing research before after independence. Then yet, nothing they did discover. And just couple of company come in, with even not yet 2 years, they already discovered that there's oil in Namibia.
Yeah. So but there was two examples. I think I brought them up here by one of the chairmen of the Africa Energy. I can't remember exactly the right title. It's African Energy. A chairperson, and he said Namibia actually they have to be fast, you know, and he gave an example of Ghana and Uganda, you know.
Yeah.
Uganda, the discovery took about some time they took about a lot of years, and then in the end, there was nothing. There was, up to now, there wasn't really any production at all of oil. So Ghana make it sure, actually this, as soon as the discovery was done, they move immediately to they force the organization that are involved, the institution that I get to, they force them immediately to productions. And that's why Ghana is actually producing oil already.
Producing oil already.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be done also in fast track as a Namibian also government.
Yeah.
Because it's what I'm saying sometimes.
Which is also the president is actually saying, let expedite this, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Because you can't tell me, Mike, it's what the other time we are talking, I said, no, sometimes, guys, we need to go back to the what butter system. Where Namibian, do you know we're having a lot of things which are lacking in the country. We are talking about the issue of housing. We are talking about even road network. We can say, no, highway, we are good. But the road which are connecting town to town, they are still far from achieving the dream. Even the issue of school, hostel. What about if we invite the Okatas to come in Namibia? Explore it. What we need from you guys, we need school, we need every town is connected to the tar road. We need every, like 20 kilometers there's a clinic.
Yeah. It is possible. I mean, like Rwanda's, they are not even richer than Namibia. You know,
exactly, but they have.
Yeah, country like Burkina Faso, what they are doing is they are not even richer than Namibia. So, and the populations they have, you know?
I'm telling you, comparing to us. It's what I'm saying. In Namibia, this is our own doing because we cannot find ourselves like where you have people who are eating in the dustbin. We doesn't even have a Namibian ID because it's not even a priority to him because it doesn't feel like to have a Namibian ID if you are you don't know where even you're born in the street, you are dying in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, man. These things are supposed to be done. Look, oil, we need to put up something like that. No, we need only to require this.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Right. Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
All right.
Yeah.
You can go on.
Mike, let me conclude. You know, Mike, the thing is that sometimes I say, I'm always saying, no, we need to sacrifice for our generation. Let us sleep the hunger today. And tomorrow we are able to celebrate because we get even a kudu. But in our country, it's like, no, we kill the kudu and then we want to finish even the skin. Everything in the same time. With it, seriously, this is what I'm saying, that the lithium which we are constructing, the Chinese are constructing, they sipping it out. Do you think they didn't need it so mostly? They are doing it for their future generation. It's the same with our aluminium.
Yeah.
And they are leaving our country empty with all those big holes which are going to be last, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, sooner or later it will deplete it. And it hasn't benefited you at all.
Not at all. And at the end of the day, our next generation are going to buy from Chinese in an expensive way.
Yeah.
But it's from Namibia. Just the same way we are doing it already, like with our timbers.
Wait, I mean, even you, if you are having a wedding, you go to American Swiss. The ring that you are buying, it's American diamond ring, but it's actually a Namibian diamond.
Namibian diamond. At the end of the day, you are buying a lot of money.
Yeah.
You might end up even paying more than that after 10 years of your wedding.
Exactly.
To pay off that ring because you will get it from abroad. You see? Yeah. Exactly. Anything is what is happening even in Fatimba, my friend. Look. The teams are going to Chinese, and when they come in the form of chair, table, cupboard. At the end of the day, you want to tell me that we don't have experts if you are producing every day the trains from VTC?
Not even, some haven't even gone to VTC. You go to Kavango there are people who are actually having, who are not even went to VCT, who actually can, beautiful chair or tables or something like that.
I'm telling you, and the concern in that is that the teams are come from their region.
Yeah.
Aye, man. Mike, something is wrong with us. It's what I'm saying. Seriously. Even the high unemployment which you are crying here in Namibia, it's not supposed to be, that is supposed to be a thing of past.
Yeah.
Because we are not really investing in the priority area. We are looking at, in Kavango, where the teams are coming, kids are telling the chairs to school. Judge me. Come on, man. Something is wrong with us.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, we don't need a policy directing. No, just somebody directing that say, no, here and here is about to be done. It must be done. Within 24 hours, if it's not going to be done, somebody have to be fired.
That's going to be a big factory in Kavango.
Exactly, a big factory with this approach, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Supplying all the school in Namibia. We don't need to go to South Africa. Even the cupboard which we are buying for as an installment for 24 months. Or even 5 years.
Yeah.
No, those things are supposed to be done in Kavango, where everybody is buying in the local shop, which are set up.
With quality wood.
Quality one.
Yeah.
Not the quality thing we are. Every time when you are moving in, especially now, we don't have a place to stay called home. Because the landlord can increase any time, then you have to to pack up your cupboard and what. And the cupboards are getting broken every day. The moment you are moving, land to land.
Exactly.
You see, this is a thing which we need. It's a practical, guys, not a theory. In the office, away we are, a person is telling you, he doesn't know what is happening in Sandy Mining in Wangwena, but he's telling you, no, we give a clearance in Windo. He's sitting in air condition, he doesn't know what is happening there.
I think I was talking to somebody and said, it's also experts that you're looking for, you know? But I remember I had someone from Tanzania. We have a warehouse. A warehouse. And there was a lot of rubbish things. Really rubbish stuff in there.
Stuff.
You know?
Yeah.
Some are used computer, some are used aircon, whatever, you know, all those kind of things. And this guy comes in.
Yeah.
And he say he wants all of this. And in explaining what he's got, we can be able to fix this. This is only, you know, we only take this and what and put this on. And you, you realize that you have a warehouse full of, which is actually money sitting in your house.
We want to follow it away.
But you just don't know. You understand? Yeah. Eh? And I think that kind of level of knowledge, I think it's lacking.
It's
very lacking. Even if we say, yes, we have people that are educated, but there is a certain level of innovations, require a certain way of thinking. You know,
Michael, you just bring up something. You know, when I was talking about this old desktop computers.
Yeah.
Do you know that our government office and including even telecom, they are getting rid of? You know where they are going to they don't even for recycle. They give it to this company. They are not even willing to get any money. It's for free.
Yeah.
Just because of what, computer they're having this battery, what they call them, this power supplier. Which is containing lithium, it's the same with also the screen. But this thing, and you go to the north, you find even the school, it doesn't even have any computer at all.
Yeah.
And now we are following this away. And then we have IT students who are on the street doing nothing, smoking, what is the hubry?
Yeah.
Because they cannot do anything. They cannot find anything.
Yeah.
What about you turning those things to useful? To school? Because I'm telling you, those desktop computers, they are strong.
Yeah.
Someone just broken a hardware. Some, they are broken even just a what? CPC. Some, they are just cheap with a malfunction. But we are taking it to recycle. And the recycle is not done here, it's done in South Africa or somewhere in America.
Yeah.
And we are not getting anything of it.
I think that there is a syndrome within us that is of, how do they say, outre, where you give me, outre, give outre, me.
Yeah.
Every time. I think
that outre is not taking us anywhere.
It's not taking us anywhere. I think that's kind of syndrome within us, that we don't see the potential. We just, even when we look just at the government, give us. I think it's coming from, it has been instilled in us through that apartheid,
Now we are just made it to be like that.
Yeah. And we still have that tendency, I think, you know. Yeah. Man, thank you, man. Thank you for coming through this morning.
All right, my brother.
All right.
Sure.
That outer tendency, it's very difficult to get rid of, you know. Sometimes we just don't see the potential in you know, there are opportunities. Honestly, there are opportunities. It's something my boss always said, you know, it's just ideas that you need. Money will come, you know, and sometimes we lack that. We lack that creativity, that level of thinking, you know, to innovate, to, you know, that we do really. Even if we said, we have a majority of people who have been educated, but, you know, it's people who are educated to perform, kind of like you pass through the institution, the higher institution, all what you're looking forward, I need somebody to give me a job. That's what you're looking forward to. So I need somebody to give me a job. And your mindset is actually looking for a job. But you have you have been trained in whatever field you are to be more creative, to produce. I think we also being either there's something wrong with institutions that only, you know, train us to be employees. Rather than actually innovators and creative, so that's how we can actually develop the country. Otherwise, you know, we're sitting at home. So imagine you could be you finish your teaching course, you did your education, and you're sitting at home, and there are you said you don't have a job. There are other students in your area that are struggling, that are just struggling maybe with their math, with their what, but you can't even actually approach. Maybe their parents said, look, I'm a teacher in math and all that. If you have a child that is actually struggling in this area, I'm available to be, you see, that thinking level, that being innovative and creative. I think, we need to do a lot. To be able to change that, because that's what bring us, really, really, really behind. So yes, we have, it's like we have production of this graduate, but you know, do we think independently? Do we think beyond what we have learned, and do we create? Do we innovate? I think that's the challenge. Yeah, and our telephone number 083-66-091, 083-66-091. So there was also there was also a launch of you can come through on the topic that we on the first item. You're most welcome to come through. There was also a launch of Namibia first ever FID report, that was released by the Bank of Namibia and Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, the NIPDB. So that was done today is what? When's Thursday? It was done on Tuesday, I think. So, yeah. Well, this may sound like just another set of statistics, but I think it's much more than that. I think it's much more than that if you go through that. This really marks, if you like, a very important moment for Namibia, given where we are at the moment. One that actually reflects both opportunities. This is what I'm talking in terms of being innovative and creative. It reflects both opportunities and challenges in our quest. So in our quest for this inclusive economic growth. So yeah, there are some highlight maybe that we can look at. We still have enough time. Our time is about 1 minute to 9 o'clock, so we can get into this. So there are some of the highlight of the report. We can look at some of the highlight of the report just from the face value, just to see what this report is all about. Okay, so yeah. And so please do read through that report. It's very interesting, and it may open up also some ideas, and also understand where Namibia is, and you know. But there are also challenges. There are also other things that maybe we need to consider or look at it more seriously. So the headline number is quite huge, which is over 56 billion, yeah, 56 billion in foreign direct investment inflow. So with a significant investment branching out beyond, not only, also beyond oil and gas, because that has been quite a massive investment in those sector. Now, when you look at this diversification, because this is something that has been prominent in this administrations, and I think everybody trying now to align with that idea, so with that approach. So I think it's from reading the report, it's really promising. As it signals global confidence in Namibia's potential, you know, across now multiple sectors. It's not just, you know, oil and gas, you know, or mining. But now you see that, when you see that there are potential investors that want to invest in tourism, in agribusiness, in digital technology. That actually, what I'm saying, that is actually promising, because we see that diversification now, and the interest from the investor to actually invest in some other sectors rather than maybe oil and gas, which has been, you know, the focus, or green hydrogen or so. Now, but here's still a question, you know, when you look at the massive of amount of influx of this investment. So is this investment, is this influx of investment translating into tangible benefit for ordinary Namibians? So when we're talking about 56 billion in foreign investment, direct investment, so sometimes you ask then where you know, so this is always the question that we ask here. So with this amount of money of investment, does it translate into tangible benefit for ordinary Namibians? So now the first this report represent a really, as I said, it's a step towards economic transparency. I think so. You know, knowing where investments are going. So as you know, where now the investment is going, who they benefit, and their impact. And that is very critical, you know, because this is what the report is trying to do. So it helps us now hold stakeholder accountable, and while also making, you know, informed decision about what are the what are the economic priorities? You understand? So in a way, I feel that it's a very, it represent a step towards that transparency, economic transparency. So then the diversification beyond the normal like oil and gas, I think it's also a breath of fresh air, you know, because for years, so we have been heavily reliant on on capital intensive industries like mining, for example. So now sectors like agribusiness and tourism are also catching, you know, they're also catching a global attention, which is, as I said, that's really a breath of fresh air for us, for Namibia. So, and project like now, we have some project like Namibia Berries in Divundu, and also clean energy hydrogen pilot, the clean energy hydrogen pilot in Walvis Bay. Those shows how the FDI, you know, can now create jobs and build local capacity. So that has to, this kind of examples need to be, you know, multiplied, you know, if that's the right word, need to be modeled and, you know, multiplied in the other part of the, of the country. So, but there's also a flip side. I think there's also a flip side when I'm saying that the it's good to see that, you know, we're moving, the investor also investing in other sectors like agribusinesses and tourism. But the flip side is the amount of the 50-60 billion, nearly 70%, the 70% of FDI is still actually concentrated. So it's still concentrated in capital intensive sector. So 70% of that. So, it's still actually concentrated on mining, on this capital intensive. So now these industries, when we talk about capital intensive sectors, these industries, while they are very crucial for economic growth, they're very crucial for economic growth, they often don't really generate as many jobs as when you compare to labor-intensive industries. They don't really generate as many jobs as, you know, when you compare to the labor-intensive industries, industry like tourism, manufacturing, even small scale agriculture. So these actually take up a massive of employment. These generate really quite a lot of employment and jobs. So you see that 70% of the, then you can see that, well, there's so much invested, but it hasn't generated enough job, and that's what we experience already in the country. So it doesn't really take up a lot of it doesn't really create a lot of jobs. So yeah. So now with capital intensive sectors, unemployment will remain a thorn in Namibian side. You know, in Namibia side. So it's. And we know that, and then we see that it's continue to do that, especially with among our young people. So now, if most of this investment isn't creating jobs or empowering local communities, now we have to ask. So we have to ask. And this is the things that I want you to think about. So how can then we attract? How can we attract the kind of FDI that prioritizes job creation and inclusive growth? How do we can then we have to be deliberate. Yeah, normally that's what Kanjengo would say. So we have to be deliberate to now focus, really be able to attract the kind of FDI that prioritize job creations, because that's the challenge. So, and another critical, I think, issue raised in the report is the presence of internal bottleneck. Now, the internal bottleneck is, these are things like land access, delay in permits, policy uncertainties. So these might seem like, you know, is administrative challenges or hurdles, but they are actually massive barrier to potential investors. So, because why would someone invest in agribusiness, for example, or manufacturing, if acquiring land is a lengthy process, or it's lengthy and unpredictable process, or if policies, a framework lack clarity, for example, why would somebody do that? So what the report indicating also is that addressing this bottleneck is not just about also understanding that we're not just addressing this just to attract FDI, you know, to attract FDI, but it's also about ensuring that that the investment, so the investment that are done benefits Namibian in the long run, in the long term. So, and I think that's also that definitely relate to what Mandume was saying. You know, investing now in oil and gas, these are, what is that? Finite, if you like. It's finite kind of sectors at one point that may actually be depleted. And then if you haven't reinvested it in other area that secure your future, then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. So, that also, it comes out through, as I said, read through the report. It's really, open up a lot, about, it's quite interesting report. I went through it just browsely, and it's quite, these are some of the things that I'm picking up on from the report. Now, it also talked about, Namibia's economic resilience. It highlights how we have, weathered the global challenges. We have weathered global challenges, like an 8.4% global decline in FDI. You know, so that hasn't really affected us much, and thanks to our stability, our good governance. And also, because of our natural resources. So, and that is something, we should be, proud of as well. So now, well, you have also to understand that resilience alone is not enough. So we need to focus on sustainability. So think of this, we have the Orange Basin discoveries, we have the mining, so these have brought record inflow, you know, they really brought in the record inflow of investment. But as I said earlier, they are finite. They are finite resources. They will come to some kind of end at some point. You know? So, and then the real question is that are we reinvesting today's gain? You know, and this is what is exactly Mandume was saying. Are we reinvesting today's gain to secure, tomorrow's, future, tomorrow's prosperity? So that's what, and probably that's, I think when you look at the enablers of the government. This is part of the enablers. Probably looking at that, but the execution of that become really a million questions. It becomes a million dollar questions. We may see the vision, and I really see the vision, in what, a simple vision, in what the Mene Tumbo is actually trying to do, and this administration, you can see the vision. Yeah, the vision is there. The vision is very clear. But the million dollar question is the question of implementations, because you still have the same system. You still have the power force, you know, the human power, you still have the same people that are actually implementing what they failed to implement before. You know, the vision may be clear, but there are a lot that need to be changed in terms of people who executing this vision. You know? So, and this is it's a very important question for us, for every citizen, for every one of us in Namibia. You know, we need to guard our resources. As citizens, we shouldn't be bystanders anymore. You know, we shouldn't be bystanders anymore. We shouldn't be just now look at, yeah, we put you there. Do for us. Work for us. You know? No. We shouldn't be bystanders. We should be now account. Eh? We should now be account. Accountable. We must hold everybody, and I say everybody. This is not, I'm not only say we should be held accountable the people, the politician only. No, no, no. If you are a CEO of certain, of a parastatal, of a state-owned enterprises, for example, you must be held accountable. Yeah? So we can't, maybe what we're doing to NAMPOWER now is something that we have been doing to Eagle, not Eagle. It's something we have been doing to Air Namibia. So it's something I'm thinking of flying, you know, Eagle. Yeah. So should we keep doing this? Should we keep doing this while the institution should have come up with innovative way actually to generate their own revenue? Yeah, and someone put it right yesterday when he talks that, you know, their approach, their strategy was, it was always to increase the tariff. That was only strategies that they, over the years, it worked, and never really thinking of, you know, of diversifying that strategy, looking at other ways of generating. So, And this is now the whole thing. What I'm talking about, that we should be taking account. Maybe we need to even in each, and if you're hearing me, in each of the constituency, and I think there are committees, but they need to be strengthened. Okay? They really need to be strengthened. If you are a union, really take your mandate seriously, in the way that support and take the employees' needs to task. So I think there need be a civil system that has also some kind of power within where it is, if you're following me, if it's in a constituency, if it's in a certain district or whatever, to actually then take account to take those who are in charge of anything that is of the government, to take them accountable. We need to start doing that. Okay? I think that's also one of the priority, accountability. It's one of the priority of this administration, and we also need to take that on board. as a citizen. So, and hold everybody accountable. Wherever they are, whatever level of service delivery. Okay? So I said, I'm going to start teaching you how to complain. Okay? We need to start. We must be like whites. Whites know how to complain. Okay? If you have a friend who is a white, you know, go to him or go to her. Ask him, how do you master complaining? All right? So go to him, go to her. Ask, how did you master actually complaining? Because they complain for everything. We need to start complaining for everything. All right? So if you don't, come to me. I will teach you. All right? So another point, I think worth unpacking is the role of monitoring and evaluation. We can just, you know, we can't just celebrate this investment without asking whether they are achieving their intended goals. Let's see what this caller have to say. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
So, since the people are not calling, maybe they are not interested. So, I can make them call.
What is that? What's the point you want to make?
No, especially like you are saying, you can also create awareness and educate us, no?
Yeah.
But you are just being like the three people who were interviewed this morning.
Yeah.
And I really agree with that, especially the one with the traditional, the local rhythm. We were talking about young ones lying down and things like that. Not necessarily that they are lying down maybe because they want to do it. Maybe it's because of lack of understanding.
Yeah.
And they also need to be persuaded to partake in those activities. Just to, make them aware about the benefits that they get from them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we say, yes, the opportunity are being spoken around and what. But are you going to the people and give them the information? Mm. Just gather them in your village and say, yes, those ones from VTC, where are they? Those ones from wherever, where are they? The university students. Are you now saying that in your village there, as a leader, as a person, whoever has got interest?
Yeah, but the other way also, Uncle Bwana, those from university are the one who need to go to the leaders and say, we see these opportunities.
They don't understand. They will tell you. You are talking about capital intensive. Eh?
Yeah.
I have seen and I've known many of my people going within my family circle and outside. You ask them, graduate, what is it that you want to do? Why can't you do this and this? And graduate.
Yeah.
And then they will tell you, no capital. No capital. That is the only language that you hear.
Mm.
Have you ever visited, say for example, I'm just giving an example because I do go there and get forms for some people. At the Development Bank of Namibia, for example, have you gone there? They will already tell you, these artisans are this side, these other ones are this side. This is those categories.
Yeah.
And then you now say, for example, like Kanjo Kankwanyoka was telling us the other time, you know, when he used to be here, and until he got frustrated. Guys, bring up your proposal, write them even in Oshawambo, write them in this other thing. The business proposal, and he used to tell us where to go for funding and things like that.
Yeah.
And then at a later stage, he came out very annoyed. He said, no, you guys, man, I told you it's free of charge. So some of this information are not there, and people think that, yes, for me to come up with a business proposal or business plan and things like that, of course, there is some energy to spend and maybe little finance. But if you put it in your writing and what is it that you can do and things like that, I think you can be helped. And those counselors, you can then approach them and say, yes, the university students, they are there. Not necessarily they don't want to be employed, but if I tell you the type of unemployment, the all these things, you find out the graduates are the ones who are on the sideline because they feel that the qualification, the job will just call upon them because of their qualification.
Therefore,
they have no energy to go and search for this kind of information, organize themselves, put themselves together and say yes. Because we do not have capital, capital is intensive. What is it that we need? It's not money that is necessary. It's the idea.
Yeah, that's what my boss always said.
Yes, you know? Thank you.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, my brother.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm serious really about, you know, I think it's within the system of education. We are not trained to think outside of, we're actually trained just to produce, I mean, just to replicate the content. Okay. We still have that bandu, you know, way of applying ourselves, where just memorize and produce, memorize and produce what you have memorized. We're not helping, you know, we haven't adopted a philosophy or approach that, that help people to think, get out, you know, think out of the box, as they said. So because we lack, honestly, we lack innovation. We lack way at looking at something and be able to recognize the possibility, to recognize the potential. And that's how we can grow the economy. It's for innovative, for people who are being innovative or being creative, And with ideas. So otherwise, of many of our graduates are just coming, you know, from an institute, from the university, and I have a qualification now. Where is my job? It's like entitlement. Yeah, now I finish. Where is my job? Eh? Yeah, where is my job? And I think the tendency is also kind of like, of course, the government, the private sectors have to create environment that help to facilitate even individuals to, you know, to be creative, to be, you know, yeah. So it's like the example of Bwana now, Uncle Bwana is saying now. As I can give an example of my own niece, it's a nephew. I don't know. Sometimes I don't make a difference between niece and nephew. So, yeah, I think it's a nephew. A man is nephew, ne? All right. So, now, this, at one point, like, the person thinks, okay, where would I get money actually to go to the vocation training? So, because of you thinking of that, that's a problem. Now you're thinking that money is a problem. What do? You stop being creative. So when I talked to him, I said, what is your responsibility? Your responsibility is actually to apply. You have passed, apply. That's what's within your power now. Within your power is to apply. That's what you need to do. Apply. So when you apply, now you have an application and you found that you are accepted. So when you are accepted, now you come into me that, no, uncle, I'm accepted at this vocational training, and I need, you know, and I need, this is how much we are being asked. So there's a reality now that we need to address. But when you think, when you're already in your mind, and that's exactly what happened. Apply, accept it, and everybody, you know, ship in to, you know, to contribute. But if you think there will be nobody, people will only support when they see, first of all, there's something that you have done, you know, you initiate that. So we see that you accept it. So then it's easy for us now to, okay, there's an opportunity here. Eh? It's also what happened with any other institution. If you want to actually improve anything that you want to improve, so you can't think of a problem, and then the problem now would limit you to be innovative. A problem should be able to guide you how you now have to address this, have to go about this, not a kind of like something that brings you to a stop. Yeah, and I think there's something wrong within our institution of higher learning as well. So if we come out and all we're looking at and all we think is that I need a job, okay? So then definitely, you know, you're given now the knowledge, you know, or then you need to, you know, to, of course, as I said, environment must run. There are certain things that need to, you know, to also facilitate that opportunity, to also facilitate your creativity, your, you know, your ideas and your innovation. So that has to be there. The environment has to be there to be right. Yeah. But, there's also something from ourselves, those who are sitting at home that we need to do. All right. Yeah, so this, the report, as I said, the other point, what I said, which was worth looking at as well, is the monitoring and evaluation. So that what is, after all, now when we're looking at the investment, so what has that achieved? Have they achieved their intended goals? You know, and what is the follow-up? What is the follow-up plan for these billions? Now we hear all these billions, that inflow of these billions. Have they achieved what they intended? What was the intended goal? And what is? Can we now? You know, is there a follow-up or for these billion? What have they done? You know, how are we ensuring they drive, as I said, they drive innovation, they create jobs, and they build value chain right here in Namibia? So that's the most important things. That's very important to understand as well. So, yeah. So the report also looking at other, how we can deal with, you know, with investment, that we need to shift to diversify the investment in tourism, in agribusiness, in light manufacturing, yeah, so that we can be able to create job, and also while we can also build the local capacity as well. Looking at also then addressing the whole issue of bottleneck that we talked to earlier on, and so that we can attract meaningful investment, not some of investment that, you know, that only benefit a little elite somewhere in the corner, you know, with a black suit. So, and also then the whole question of promoting really, really accountability and transparency. We need mechanism to monitor and evaluate the impact of this investment. We hear all this amount of money, but what impact do they make? So that's really a very good to know. And the other thing is that so the diversifying in sector like green energy and maybe digital technology. So these are essential for a long-term, you know, a long-term growth. It's not just a trend or, you know, but it should be something that that help that actually a long-term growth. This is investing in those, in the long-term growth. So, what do you think about this development? Have you seen the impact? Have you seen the impact of this investment in your own community? And what kind of the FDI would you like to see in Namibia? That's for another day, and keep discussing that wherever you are. That's the discussion that we would like you to have in your community. So our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of nine, and it's time for me to say goodbye and wish you a very good day, and keep listening to Eagle FM for the programs that are coming up. Mind the Gap, it's right away, and with Helmut. And for me, until we'll see each other again, we meet again tomorrow on the same station here on Eagle FM. Thank you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.